Okay, we are still on the lesson. Have faith as a question, then believe. And so we'll continue. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We've come back to this word of faith, or what faith is, a Christian faith. Faith to believe, faith to trust, faith to see the word and the promise of God to us to come into being, to be accomplished, to be taken, if you will, from the spirit realm ultimately into the natural realm that we live in. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance. What is the assurance? Faith is, again, in the present tense. Faith is the assurance, the conviction, evidence, proof. And what is that? It's God's promise or God's word to us. So we'll see that ultimately how faith comes to us, how it is initiated with God, and then how God, with our cooperation, with our yieldedness and obedience, meeting the conditions, then He will finish. He is the author and finisher of our faith, of our Christianity, and of our Christian walk, and of faith itself, to believe and trust Him, to answer what we have requested of Him according to His will and purposes. Again, we will get into these conditions of having this faith and keeping this faith. Again, we will have believed, we are believing, and we keep believing. We'll see it has a process. So faith, assurance of things hoped for. It has the assurance, the proof, the evidence, the conviction that what it has requested is in God's will, and that God will ultimately bring it to pass. Therefore, it hopes. It looks to that point in the future. In the future, whether it be 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, or whatever, 1 decade. Some things apparently take a lot longer with God. Some things is not His will to do right away. We'll find that with many things, especially things that are great, things that involve other people, ministries, and God's dealings. These ultimately do not happen instantly. And when they do come to pass, it has been a process that led up to them, the same as a child coming forth from the mother's womb. It may come forth, it goes through the labor, possibly hours or days, but once it comes forth, there the child is. But it took long, 9 months, to get to this place. And faith often is like that too. It has a beginning, a birthing. It has a growing process. It has a trial, a suffering place involved, a labor, if you will. The trying of your faith is grievous. That's why it's tried as by fire. But ultimately, it brings forth when the process is completed. So again, faith is the assurance, the conviction, the evidence, the proof that God's word or promise is true. That what He promises, from His perspective, He intends to do what He says. But again, we will find with us and with the things we pray for, most of these things are conditional on us believing, trusting, and waiting God's timing. And if people do not do their part, then they can forfeit God's blessing. It is not that God goes back on His word. It's that His word was conditioned on us remaining faithful until it came about. So again, many people think they have a word from God and they do not have to do anything. There are rarely any prophecies or promises in the word that are like that to the individual. Now, there are things that God will do concerning end time events. There are things that He's going to bring about in His own power and His own glory. And you can believe that, but you cannot interfere with it either. But what we're talking about is the prayers and the things that have to do with us, our life, our walk, our ministries. They have conditions, and we must abide in those conditions. The same as our Christianity, we must continually abide in Christ, or we forfeit the life of Christ and the fruits thereof. So he says, faith is the assurance, the conviction, the evidence of things hoped for, the conviction, the proof of things not seen. Okay, notice on one hand it means things not seen. So whatever faith is looking for, it does not have. Otherwise, you need no faith. Get it? There is no faith involved if you have the object. If you have the object in hand, then why are you praying? You know, it'd be illogical, even in the natural realm. But you are looking for the fulfillment of the promise. You have the conviction that what you're hoping for will come to pass. The things not seen, that is the object. It means in the natural present it's not seen. But we will see or realize sometimes in the future. We will see it come in to the natural realm, ultimately, into the realm that we have to deal with. So faith, again, it sees. See, it sees into the spirit realm. It deals with realities and truths. And it says God's word is as good as the promise in hand. If I abide by the conditions, then God keeps his word. He does not go back. If we maintain the condition of the promise and the word, we can be sure God will do his part. So his word is as good as his promise and as good as his character. But we do not have it in hand. But again, we see that the time, the place in God, in the future, whether again it be a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a year, a decade, that it will be manifested when God's purposes and plans and timing is ready. Some people tend to think once you meet all the conditions of prayer and faith, then the answer comes. Even that is not true, because the waiting period we're going to see, and times and seasons, is God's business. And even when all is done well and done properly, which it must be, ultimately God in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, is the giver of gifts, and he decides when the moment is ripe and when the fruit of faith is ripe to accomplish his promise. So what we're going to see is, what is our job? We'll have a good illustration. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to talk about Lazarus' resurrection, and we'll see that Martha had to have some sort of faith, and we see a part of her struggle, but it's the word that Jesus speak that is relevant to us. We notice that Martha in verse 22 had even said, 21, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But notice what she says in 22, even now I know, I believe. She had some kind of faith in him. Look what she said, even now I know or believe that whatever you ask God, God will give it you. Isn't it interesting? I have faith that if you ask the Father, he'll give you anything that you ask for. So she did believe in Christ standing with the Father. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, using the present term. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So again, Jesus is saying to Martha, the power of resurrection is with me, and ultimately anyone who trusts in me will never die permanently, and they will live eternally. And he says, do you believe this? And she says, yes, I believe this. Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So she's previously stated, because I believe who you are, the Christ, the Son of God, that whatever you ask the Father, he will give it to you. So she has the faith in the praying and the requesting of Jesus. And then we go down in verse 39, when Jesus tells them to remove the stone, And Martha gets a little disturbed here at this time. She is a little perplexed, and notice what she says. Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. See, again, she's being practical, and she's realizing. But see, her faith is limited. She, obviously, at this time, is not expecting or believing, Lord, to do a present time miracle. Her faith here is according to what? A general knowledge that there will be the resurrection of the just, and there will be, and the Lord will be the power, and those who believe in him will have eternal life. But she's still looking to the future. She's not apparently looking or believing that the Lord can do anything in the present, or there's doubts here. But notice what he says, and again, this is for us, and we ought to ponder this, and we can see then the human and divine side of this faith and believing. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you? He's reminding her that if you believe, notice what he addresses her, that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. What he's saying to us in this, that if you believe the word you received, if you know it was from me, the promise, then faith has assurance. Faith is assurance. You have the proof. You have my word. And if you believe that, and you keep believing that, ultimately you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the answer to that belief and that prayer. See, that's what the Lord's telling all of us. But notice the condition. If you believe, and often he has to remind us when we waver, when we are tempted and tested, we begin to ponder the devil's thoughts to throw doubts, our own nature, the circumstances and so forth causes us to begin to question these things. And there's where faith sometimes is challenged, and sometimes faith dies at this time with people at various times. Then they do not see the glory of God in the matter. Go to Acts. These two are beautiful scriptures that we ought to read and ponder when we are tested and tempted with doubts. Acts 27, verse 25. Paul speaking, giving those advice of what was going to happen about the ship and everything, and they didn't believe him. But he had heard from the Lord. And notice what he says in 25. Therefore, keep up your courage. Keep up your strength, men. For I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. He was promised by the Lord if they all stayed in the boat, even though the boat may be destroyed, every one of them would live. And he said, I believe God, and it will turn out exactly as he told me. He believes in the promise of God. He believes what God has told him and promised him. And he says, and I believe he will keep his word exactly. So this is his great faith. We see the great faith of Paul at this time. And so he says, what? So God gives of his faith by what? His word, his promise to us. And then something happens. See, again, this is what we're basing our faith on. Go back, not only the character of God, but Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or the word of God. What is he saying? Then ultimately, what we're believing for, the basis has to be that God, through his Spirit, has bore witness. He has taken the Word, and he has taken it out of being the general Word of God. If you will, the general Word of God, or Logos, is doctrine, teaching, promises. It's truth to the mind. It's mental assent, if you will. But it's still passive information. It teaches us principles. It instructs us. But until it becomes life to us, and only the Spirit can do this, nothing can be produced. So many people are quoting scriptures and claiming scriptures when they are not receiving the Holy Spirit's directive and they are not meeting the conditions of what they're praying about. So the Spirit is very involved in this thing. So it's not just grabbing promises out of your promise box. It's not just finding a promise and jumping on top of it like people say. It does not work that way. It comes, again, in God's will and character, we're going to see. So the general Word of God, what we study and believe, but what happens is when the Spirit quickens it, gives life, when He speaks it to us, is not this what a prophecy is? When He illuminates, when He inspires a word to us, the same as He does with other scriptures we study. He can build us up, He can convict us, He can admonish us, He can comfort or encourage us by His inspiring the word. Otherwise, it's the letter of the law. It produces nothing. It's just general information. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, you do well. The devils believe. But does not prove you're saved, nor you're in the Lord, unless you have faith in Him and submit to His Lordship. So what happens is, when the Lord gives us a promise of His Word, or tells us He will accomplish something, and it is quickened to us and made alive by the Holy Spirit, that is the evidence or the proof. He bears witness with His Word. The Spirit and the Word agree. And so then this promise becomes alive. It becomes, if you will, a rhema, a logos, the general Word of God. A rhema, the Spirit-inspired Word of God. It's inspired, it's acted on by the Holy Spirit. The written Word of God has no value spiritually until the Holy Spirit acts on it. That's why many people can study Scripture and quote Scripture back and forth, and yet not have the life of Christ and not even be Christians. Because mental assent to Christian doctrine and information is not Christianity. It's the life of Christ, the Spirit in them, bringing this about, bringing these principles into the lifestyle of the Christian. So when the Holy Spirit gives this directive, gives this promise, then what? The Word of God, the general Word of God that becomes alive, become a prophecy. What is a prophecy? God speaking and saying, I will do something. I will accomplish something. But again, the conditions were, you must believe. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Look at verse 16. As Peter, they meet a man and they're going to pray for him, Peter and John, and they're going to perform a miracle on him in the name of the Lord. But notice when this thing happened and happens, and the people are amazed at this, and notice what he says, Peter, and on the basis of faith in his name, again, he's saying, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We have come and used his name, and that's what they did. Backing up, the man was looking for something, maybe gold or silver, some help, some money. So evidently in his healing, the real faith was not so much in him as it was at this time in Peter and John. He did believe he was going to receive something, so that was some amount of faith. But at this time, maybe he was not exactly looking for healing. But notice what Peter said in verse 6, we do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. What did he have? He tells us, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. He was saying, we have the authority, he's given it to us, to use his name when we walk in the Spirit and are led by him, and he will back his name. And we believe that. So we have belief, faith in the power of his name will be honored, and the Holy Spirit will accomplish this. And notice what he said. It is the name of Jesus, which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know. and the faith which comes through him. Actually, one translation says the faith that works through him, who Jesus has given him, this man, perfect health in the presence of you all. So again, we see what? That Peter and John believed and had faith in the name of Jesus to use it to command this person to walk in Jesus' name. That first their faith was in the name of Jesus because he had given them authority, and they believed that because they believed in his character. They understood what they were equipped for, and the Holy Spirit was guiding them. And they believed this. And because they believed this, when they spoke the name of Jesus, it was not a form. It was not a magic ritual. Many people use the name of Jesus and get nothing. And it's not the words they use. There's nothing wrong with the words they use. Simply, they do not have a rhema word. They do not have a promise given by the Holy Spirit. It has not been made alive to them. They have not met the conditions of prayer and receiving many hindrances in their lives, and we'll talk about them later. But here we find what? We believe, they said, and have faith in the name of Jesus so much that when we speak what we've spoken here, we know this will be accomplished. See, this was a gift of faith, but it was their faithfulness too and their continual believing. And because of this, God honored it. So again, if we believe, we shall see the glory, the power of God to answer. And if we're like Paul, and he says, and we believe God that it shall be exactly as he said it would be. That if he said, I'm going to do this, and you've met the conditions, then surely he must do this, for he honors his word above all his name. It means his word does not fail. What he says cannot fail if the conditions are met. Therefore, and the many promises, one to everyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is not his will that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. So the general will of God is that all be saved. But until the Holy Spirit draws by grace and convicts by the preaching of the word, the person cannot receive that. See, again, we must work with God to accomplish his purposes before we can see in the natural the end result of our faith. I wrote this down for myself, and it helps me. It's rather poor and rather simple, but it's how I remind myself of faith and what I'm to do in trying times, and how I'm to believe God's word when the weeks and months and years go by and apparently there is no movement in the natural, yet we keep getting the same word. And as we pray and seek the Lord, and through our doubts and discouragements and failures, and we get back up and we go right back at it, and we get the same word that comes back to us as Abraham did year after year. Took Abraham almost 25 to 40 years to get the final accomplishment of the promise, and he was called a man of faith, the father of faith, and we're told to be imitators of Abraham by Paul. And this faithfulness and trusting regardless of the natural and the years, when years pass by, it often seems more impossible. And this, again, has nothing to do with faith. Faith does not stand on the natural. Faith stands on the promise of God's word. That's what it stands on. When all else changes, that we must hold to. Then we will see the glory of God. And so this comes to me, so if it helps you, fine, but it helps me. I use a rather simple but useful to me this example to remind myself of what faith and believing are in the practical example. The executor of a will calls you and tells you you have inherited a sum of money from an estate. He sends you legal documents sufficient to convince you it is legal and it is true. So you've been given information from the estate, from the executor, and you read this and you see, oh yeah, all of this is true. The bank will verify it. The estate will verify. These are legal, notarized informations. And you say, oh, then I believe this. But you must wait until all the conditions of the system and the wiring of the monies to your account. And this may take a while. And you really have nothing much to do with this. You simply must wait until this process goes through legally and is taken care of by the proper offices and so forth. This involves the timing. But legally, you have the money as you have been given proof, evidence. So in a sense, you have faith. You believe in what you were told. But you must wait for the money to be literally in your account before you can draw off of this. So see, again, faith says, I have it. It's mine. I have proof of this. Yet before it can be manifested in the natural, this process, and this is the waiting period. This is something that we have nothing to do with. Acts 1:7. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed by His own power or authority. What is He saying? He's saying there are certain times and seasons, and this involves in God's fulfillment of His word and the answers to prayers, that God has set within His power the times and the seasons. Sometimes they are fixed. There is a certain time that God wants something done. It will not be a minute late nor a minute early. But in many things we pray for, I have to say from my own perspective, that there are things that when we meet the conditions and we've waited, then it's God's time to bring it about. But then doubt comes in. Delay comes. The enemy attacks our mind. We begin to listen. We begin to waver in our faith. We begin to doubt. And at times we fail. We stumble. And it delays what God is doing. And the full lesson has not been learned. And therefore we may have to get back up and proceed. We may have to go back to God and pray until we are assured that we are back in that position of trusting Him and believing Him. And in some cases, if this period goes too long, then we can forfeit that promise, and the timing and when God was going to do it may have passed where it does not apply anymore. And see, that's a hard, difficult thing for us to accept, but it's true. But in some cases, I'm not talking about a temporary failure. God can deal with our temporary failures and sins and mistakes. We deal with them, and at times we're chastened, but it doesn't mean that sometimes everything is canceled out by one mistake or so. No, it's a continual disbelief and rebellion, or beginning to live in a way that displeases God, and then He may and shall eventually withdraw His promises. They will not apply to us anymore. But if we've failed, and if we've gone too far and we don't know, then we have to go through the process of praying again to receive an assurance or a witness that that word still applies or that it doesn't. And so you can see why in prayer we need the editing of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to spend, as I've seen people do, and I've done it to a degree, spend a long time praying for something that God is not in anymore, that God has gone on to the next thing. And people sometimes waste years. I've seen it happen. Praying for something for years because they did not obey God at the right time, or they believed something that God wasn't in and did not meet the conditions. He had no intentions of fulfilling it. And yet they believe they are exercising faith year after year after year. And actually it's in vain, because the Lord is not in it anymore. So you can see why in prayer we need to come back. We need to pray, and we need to keep praying, and we need to stay in the will of God, that we can be in harmony with what He's doing and not delay the process. I do believe there are things that, example, God may have wanted to test us and try us, and maybe after a year and a half, His intention was to give us that. And then sometimes because of our disobedience or our unbelief or our not taking these things seriously, maybe it took God 3 or 4 years to accomplish what He wanted. See, I know that's true in our spiritual walk. Some people can, in 5 years, can be a deeply spiritual people. Some people, it's 15, 20. Some people never get there and backslide and regress. Because, again, it's nothing to do with God's word and promise. It's that they did not keep it. They did not abide in it. They did not continue in it. See, it's the same seed that was sowed on the souls that were lost, but it was the ground that determined what kind of fruit would come forth. God's word brings forth, but if the soil is lousy, and that's our soul, our life, our response to God, if there's unbelief and sin, then there can be no bringing forth of the things of God. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, God speaking the promise, confirming the promise, bearing witness to the promise to us, then we must not forget the conditions of hearing, that we can keep on believing until we see in the natural the accomplishment of that promise, of that word, and of that prayer, and the end of our faith, the desired answer. So again, much of our time in praying for other people, and praying for circumstances, and praying for guidance, and all of this involves, again, you can see why we're to be given much to prayer and why we need it. It's not simply speaking something and claiming something, as James said, telling people, well, just be clothed and have food, bye, and then you never mention it again. No, it's not that way. And so again, we need to see that it's the things we ask for, the things we seek God for, are all conditioned on us abiding in Him, not in just the promise He's given, but our life. And many people fail here. They're only interested in God when they want something. They're only interested in praying when they want something. So even though what they seek and what they desire may be within the harmony of God's will, and they may meet all the conditions in that area, God may not see fit because of the area of their life as a whole. They may be self-seeking and pursuing their own interests, and they're only interested in what they want. It's almost as a child or a teenager. The only time often they do and sacrifice is when they want something. But see, that reveals their selfish character, their childishness, that ultimately has to be dealt with. We just not want from a teenager an act of obedience because they'll get something out of it or they want something. We want their whole lifestyle to be a life of learning to obey, covering the whole area. And then the teenager is more likely to be able to get more and be trusted with more overall, because he or she is overall proving that they are faithful and worthy and do what they're told. And it is the same with God. He is not fooled nor deceived. So you can see our believing and trusting proceeds from a lifestyle that God is trying to work in us, a walking in the Spirit, a living in the Spirit, a keeping short accounts with the Lord, of making sure that we're not living in rebellion, making sure we are not being selfish and self-seeking and making a lifestyle of it, because then the life of Christ and everything He promises will not avail us, and He will not carry through with it. So again, we can see it is all tied in together. This is why many people go through spurts of prayer, and they read all the things, they're doing everything they can to get what they want. And as soon as their prayers are delayed or God is not in a hurry to answer them, then everything else goes out the window and they revert right back to what they were doing, because they reveal that they're not faithful, they're not loyal, and God to them is just a Santa Claus to get something. And we're going to see there are conditions for receiving from the Lord. There are conditions for walking in faith and staying in faith. And we need to remind ourselves of these things. But let's stop here. Lord, remind us that you are ever truthful to your word and promises if we are faithful to believe and carry out the conditions of it. In Jesus' name, amen.